Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Wednesday, world. It is the Soon to Be Cat Lady Show, and it's Wednesday at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, so obviously you are here, and we are here. And actually, Adu's not here today because he lost heat in his home, and apparently his car broke down, so his life is in shambles. But I, of course, have Benjamin Cruzy, and the whole world wants to know what you're up to, Ben, so I figured, we could just have this episode be all about you since I'm not prepared.
I don't have a job, but I have heat, and I have a car, so.
That's important. That's really good.
Right.
You're doing better than a dude who does have a job.
Right. In that it's not, it's sometimes a question of how are you doing right now? And for right now, I'm doing all right.
Right. Overall, in general, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm getting over the fact that I'm not on the radio anymore. And what ends up happening is that all of these things happen in the world and happen in my home, in the town I live in. And I have no place to vent. And so,
except right here.
Well, here's the problem with using your relationship podcast, the Meowcast, as a venting tool. I don't think this is the proper forum to complain about the news channels that refuse to show the cover of Charlie Hebdo.
Well, you know what, Ben?
Today I have nothing dating related. Well, you said
that's a lie. I do have one thing dating related, and that is now send glitter anonymously to your enemies, and I have some ex-boyfriends that I'm going to be sending some glitter to.
This is the thing that confuses me about the glitter thing. Is one, if you want glitter just to show up, get a girlfriend, or go to a strip club. Those are the two most excellent ways of getting glitter just everywhere.
I don't think you understand the point, though.
Well, it's you want to you, no, it's no. I've gotten wedding invitations and that had stuff other than the wedding invitation and the RSVP in the envelope, and it was like, oh, it's fun because there's confetti in it. Yay, it's a party. Here's a little confetti, and it's like, no, you don't know if I have a functioning vacuum or not. How dare you mess up?
And glitter and confetti are very different things.
I am very familiar with glitter for Christmas.
Right, but it's not the point of, hey, glitter's so fun. It's, hey, I hate this person, and I would love more than anything that they get glitter all over their house and are unable to pick it up. That's what this is about.
I'm getting to my point. My point is that the reason this was created was because there's enough people out there who genuinely think sending glitter or confetti through the mail is a good idea that someone decide to weaponize this.
Oh, it's definitely a weapon. Glitter, and I don't want a card with glitter.
But here's my question, is that what good is a weapon if your enemy doesn't know why they're being attacked? And I guess this is the question that boils off of this, is that if you've had some bad relationships and you feel the need that these have gone so poorly that you need to rise to the level of revenge, is it that good if the person doesn't know you were the one doing it to them? Is it good enough to ruin someone's life for 5 minutes? Does it bring the person who sends this box of glitter anonymously happy? Does it bring them happiness knowing they're never going to see their reaction, knowing they're never going to know if their day was ruined, knowing that this person's never going to know why this box was sent to them?
Assholes are going to assume. A letter. And according to this article that I found on
it,
or actually that was sent to me from a friend. That would be pretty good. And it should come with a hidden camera in there so you can see the reaction. I don't know.
Right.
I don't think I hate anyone
enough.
It seems
to be like an old school thing of peanut brittle, and then you open it up and all the snakes start flying out.
Yeah, those are scary. I didn't like those growing up. But I don't think I hate someone enough that I would do that. But if I go into a mindset of, yes, I do, I don't know. I think, you know, part of me, it's kind of like in high school when you have a huge crush on someone and you send them a flower card and you never sign it. And you don't know if they got it because they're embarrassed that they got an anonymous, like, I have a crush on you card. And you never know, but it's still in the back of your mind. You're like, yeah, I did that. I don't know. I
guess
see
the question
some
is,
people.
What's the plan, I guess, is my question. Is that if you do anything in a relationship, either to create one or to destroy one anonymously, what is the plan? Because the only way this works is you actually see their reaction. And so,
all right, fair.
Well, if you want to send flowers to a guy, that's weird, anonymously, you need to have some avenue for them to respond. And nowadays, then why send it?
No, the funny thing is last week we talked about anonymous flowers because I received anonymous flowers for my birthday, which you totally missed.
That's
I'm not
right.
mad at you at all.
Wait, what?
Lady.
You're mad at me?
Yeah, you didn't say happy birthday to me. You're supposed to
it
be my radio
birthday?
Boyfriend. Yes,
I didn't know it was
ago.
Your birthday. I didn't know it was
all right,
your
well,
birthday.
It was my birthday. I'm 30
okay,
now.
I did not know that. Happy birthday. You didn't have a party or anything?
Maybe you just weren't invited. No, I didn't have a party.
Wow.
Just before I forget, we do have people tweeting in. My buddy at
yeah.
the Pink Phantom tweets in, the part of the strip club that follows you home is glitter. So if you want to tweet in while you're listening, hashtag MeowCast. I know it's stupid, but go with it here.
No, I think that's
Moon.
A brilliant name.
Oh, well, good. You're probably the only one. Cheek the Moon tweets in, glitter bomb, meh, let go and move on. All right, so let go and move on. Also, if you have questions for Ben or want to talk to Ben because you miss him so much, you can call in, too. It's 1-9-789-6801. There's a number on your screen.
Oh.
I don't anticipate that will happen, but I am open to it if anybody wants to call.
Wow.
And so,
no, I'll tell
we're
the
all
story.
Dying to
I
know.
Was, let me tell my glitter story first.
Okay.
So, when you get a girlfriend, you end up.
And you
up
still have a girlfriend,
with,
right?
I still have a girlfriend.
Okay, that's what we're all dying to know. So good.
You start to notice long hairs everywhere. My girlfriend's blonde, very blonde, and
she has very long hair.
Very long hair down to the small of her back.
Mm-hmm.
And so I find her hairs everywhere in my apartment. And she got me some Christmas gifts. And when I was over at her parents' place for the gift exchange, she gave it to me in a bag that has glitter all over it. And so.
Wow, she hates you.
Well, it's what happens is that now, okay, so I put this, I open this up, and then I take the bag off, and now I am covered in glitter. I am just covered in glitter. And girl, she was marking me. She marks me every chance she gets. We were just at a shopping mall today, and she kissed me on the cheek, and it left, like, lipstick. And it was like, I was like, is she, like, actually trying to get it off, or does she want everyone to know, no, this guy's taken?
That's interesting. Is glitter
marking.
A way for girls to mark their territory? Huh.
Or the hairs, because I was, when she left the shopping mall, I was there with my brother. I went back over, and my brother's like, you've got, like, a string hanging off of your shirt. And it's like, no, that's one of her hairs. And then I didn't take it off because I genuinely love finding her hair everywhere. It's like evidence that no, someone actually loves me. Someone loves me. Here's the proof.
That doesn't mean someone loves you.
I'm not saving it. I'm not like making a ball of her hair that I'm gonna.
You're not making.
Saving. If you
you're not making a girlfriend hair doll.
No.
Good, because that would be intervention worthy, I think.
No, I think I have I'm very healthy being in a relationship for so long with being in a pretty serious one and taking things rather.
What, been dating 5 months, 6 months?
This is the problem with August. You can't, yeah, it's about, 5 months. August, September, October.
That's not that long, Ben.
Yeah, 5 months. 5 months. Huh?
That's not that long.
It's a longer relationship than I've had in a very long time. This is the longest one I've had in 15 years.
Well, what are you proposing tomorrow or something?
No. But I would say it's a serious relationship. I'm not going to say that I'm in this casually.
The Pink Phantom is mad that I beat him to the hair doll joke. Hair doll joke. Mm-hmm. That's just because I'm amazing. Oh, show. Well, I'm glad she hasn't dumped you for your lack of job. However, we do need to talk about this. Have you been actively searching for work?
I have been.
Good.
But it's difficult because when talking about employment, it's always okay. Let's feel this out, you know. And my mom keeps sending me places that I can go work that either don't interest me or don't match up with what skills I actually have.
Okay.
You know,
what is one that did not interest you?
A job opening keeps here in the Twin Cities. It's the home base of a place called Shop NBC. It's a television shopping. My mom keeps sending me like a producer job or a copywriter job on this, and I have to explain to her that I'm not a writer. And she's like, "Yeah, but if you write and if they like it, maybe they'll put you on TV." And then you'll be on television and you'll be able to do it. And I'm like, do I want to get back into broadcasting by hawking stuff on a cable television network everyone skips past? I mean, other than, who's the guy from Dirty Jobs, Mike Rowe, he's the only person to work a QVC channel and actually break off of that. He's the most famous shopping network host and the only famous shopping network host.
Huh, I've never heard of him.
Mike Rowe?
I don't watch TV.
He's a great man.
I totally believe you.
I'm looking for work. It's easier now than it was. You know, you get fired in December, in the middle of December, and it's like, okay, well, the holidays are coming up, so we can't schedule any meetings now. And then you get to the new year, and it's like, it's taken until right now for businesses to finally be in the sense of, okay, we should probably hire some people.
That's true. You can come
work
with me.
We'll see what happens.
And we're not disclosing where I work, but you should come work with me.
No, right. I don't know about
that. That'd be fun. Aww.
If I get paid, the problem is that I had such a cool job that I don't want to fall off of the coolness. So if you don't mind me, my former job was me just sitting around and cracking wine. So if I can just sit around and make jokes at other people's expense, that would be great.
Well, I'm not going to pay you to do that, but you can. Let me know where that job is, because I will come join you.
All right.
And now I've done.
You Well, it's because when it's like, have you found a job yet? No, and...
I'm only asking because the people want to know. I'm a hard-hitting journalist.
No, I realize that. It's, one, it's always harder to find a job than you think it is.
Two, the
kind of things that I'm looking into, it's best if I don't talk about it publicly for fear of things falling through. But,
right.
No. Things are...
I've been without jobs before. It's hard to find a job. I mean, it's easy to get a job, but to find one that you don't want to drive off a bridge on your way there is hard to do.
Right. It's this. If you've had a career, you've built up a certain cache of experience, a certain capital that you would like to have be taken advantage of. And so it would be really easy for me to just go, oh, I'll just go work at Walmart, I'll stock shelves, or, oh, I'll just get some job with the county. But that means throwing away everything I've accomplished over the last 4 years just for a little security now. And it's like, no, I have to somehow convert what I've done over the last 4 years into something that will continue to grow. And so it's a question of investment. And so that's why I'm so delicate with this, because as easy as it would be for me to just get some job anywhere, it's what I gain from just getting a job now, I would lose all of the stuff I've been working for the last 4 years, and I don't want to lose that.
Right. We did get a tweet in, again, from the Pink Phantom saying, so Ben was a professional tweeter. So he apparently missed you the first couple times you were on the Superintelligence podcast.
Yeah.
Ben was a radio morning show host, and that's actually how I met him, because I went on their show and talked about the blog and dating and all that stuff. So,
Kismet.
I feel there's a future for you in radio somewhere. I can't see the future, but you've got the radio voice. You have to do it. It's non-negotiable.
Right. And I've gotten to the point now, you get into radio, you be on television, and what you are trained to do is talk. What you are trained to do is not just have an idea, but to jog that idea through its paces, compare it to other ideas. And I have no outlet for that. And so I've kind of been tortured in that I have all of these ideas about all of the current events that have happened internationally and nationally and locally and in sports and I haven't been able to vent about whether that Dez Bryant catch in the divisional playoffs was a catch or not, and what should the rules in the NFL be.
Oh, let's not talk about that. I don't know anything about that.
I would so love to have that conversation. So it's one of these things where it's like I'll end up going out with friends, and it's like, do I really want to be Radio Ben? Okay, here's a story. So my brother and his girlfriend came to town this week, and because they weren't able to make it to Christmas, my parents delayed Christmas for our family until this past weekend.
Sure.
So we exchanged gifts and blah, 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 and then the football games came on. So here I am sitting watching the football games, and everyone else is off doing other stuff. And I have this habit, and I didn't notice I did this, but I have a habit of when someone leaves the room, I will now call the game for you while you're out of the room. So
oh,
that
God,
you know something exciting happened. Well, it's most of the people in the family wanted to know what was happening in the game. And here's the thing. Every time I leave the room and something interesting happens, I'm like, why aren't you telling me what's happening? Because the play-by-play guys don't do a radio call. I need the radio call when you leave the room so that you know who has the ball, how many yards they gained, did they set up a first down, how close are they to the end zone, all of this stuff.
The Pink Phantom tweets, it was a catch, Ben.
I'm getting there. When I saw it, I didn't think he had control of the ball at all, but I'm seeing to where you could consider control. I've had people scream at me on Twitter already about this. But no, my mom, while she was, my mom and my dad were doing dishes and their heads were turned away from the screen. And I was just telling my dad what was happening in the Seahawks game. And my mom just goes, he's talking to us like he's on the radio. And I was like, oh my God, you're right. I'm so desperate to be a radio guy that I am subjecting my family to my radio-ness.
Okay, so football, I don't watch it. I know that guys run from opposite ends and, like, wrestle each other in the middle, and that's about it. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Apparently,
there was a guy. Hang on, let me try it. Let me just see if I understand. So, they pass the football down the field, and someone, it looks like he didn't catch it, but he caught it, but then he kind of, like, jumbled it around a little bit, so he looked like he didn't have it?
Well,
here's
what it boils down to, is it was near the end zone, it was near the pylon in the corner of the field.
Those were things to me,
looked
okay.
Like he caught it with two hands. In midair,
okay.
Then the ball got transferred to his right hand. He took three steps as he fell down and was making a lunging motion towards the end zone because you just have to get a molecule of the football over the goal line in order for it to count as a touchdown. So while he was lunging, the ball ended up hitting the ground, bouncing out of his hands. He got control of that ball again. But what the NFL said was that because he did not go to the ground and maintain control when he went to the ground, it wasn't a catch. When I watched it live, thought he was bobbling the ball the whole way through because it originally starts with him having the ball with both hands, then having it in his right hand, then him having it at his left side in his right hand, and then the ball coming out. So I assumed he never had control of it at all. But with these high-speed cameras now, you can see. No, I guess he kind of has control of the ball. The rule, as we thought it was in the NFL, was if you have 2 feet inbounds and control of the ball, that's a catch. And if you drop the ball, that's a fumble, which would mean the ball is still live. No, apparently the rule is, as it's written, is that it doesn't matter how many steps you take, is that the whole thing is the act of catching the ball. And that even if he took three steps, he still had control of the ball by fumbling it the way he did. He didn't complete the catch. But it seems like he had control and was inbounds, but he didn't complete the catch because he didn't hold on to it. So it's a question of, the rule as it's written is stupid.
So we've all been misunderstanding this game all along?
I'm sure everyone who's in listening for a relationship show is dying to hear about the rules of football and the competition committee.
Oh, well, like I said, this one's about you. I have not much in the dating area to report because normally A Dude and I, and you will get added into this mix, I'm kind of taking control over who determines the content. It was his turn,
yeah.
So I was not prepared. And
okay.
I know that we've got listeners today that don't normally listen to the show, so it's fine. Like they want to hear Ben and whatever you want to talk about. It's all about you.
Well, I've seen on Twitter you've been dating recently.
I've been dating for years, Ben.
I know, but you seem to be alerting people to. You have a blog and you put up all of this stuff about the online stuff, but I don't know how open you are with the actual dating part. You're rather open with
I definitely blog about the weird people. No, I mean I don't blog about people who are normal because one, it's boring. And two,
yeah.
Just out of respect. No, but I mean, I go out on dates all the time, and I have no problem being like, hey, I'm going out on a date, because that way if it goes bad, you know something exciting is coming up on the blog or that I'm going to tweet about.
Well, you've been recently, you retweeted a couple of things with the hashtag 5 words to ruin a date, which bothers me because that's 6 words. But it brings up the question of, I've been on a fair number of dates. And there's the question of, have you been on a date where everything seemed like it was going well until one point where either you or the other person did something that changed the mood entirely?
I will give
this example.
Okay.
I was on a date with a girl. This was years and years ago. We had met through, Match.com. And we were telling funny stories about things that we had done with our friends. And it was recently Halloween. And so she tells a story about Halloween and blah, blah, blah. I can't remember what it was. But then I tell the funniest story I had about from Halloween was that my friend made me I didn't want to dress up for Halloween. I am not a costume wearer.
Okay.
But my friend insisted I do this, so his girlfriend brought over like a box of costumes, and one of them was a Marilyn Monroe dress. And my friend said, oh, that'd be funny if you went as Marilyn Monroe. You're going as Marilyn Monroe. So I wore the dress and heels and things, and it was like, oh, it turns out there's a reason women are cold all the time. You don't wear anything.
That is true.
And high-heeled shoes are uncomfortable. So the point of the story was by being forced to dress like a girl for some stupid Halloween party, I had a certain epiphanies about what women go through to look pretty. And it's you have the right to complain.
And how did you bring this up to your date?
Well, I told her it was a funny story of, oh, this isn't this funny. And she looked at me like I was a sexual predator. Like, I got off. Like, I was a cross-dresser. Like, I could only get off if I was wearing her high heels. And it was like, it completely changed. I thought everything was going well until I told that story, and then she couldn't get out of there fast enough.
Well,
and
like
so
you
it's
told
one of these
her
things
it was for Halloween,
was,
right?
Yeah. It was for Halloween, and I've only done it once.
Right. It'd be different if you're like, yeah, I dressed up as a girl for Halloween in 2008, and then I liked it so much that I dressed up as a female again in 2000. It's weird when a guy keeps dressing up as a female for Halloween. That's when it gets weird.
Right.
One time, it's a little bizarre to see and witness in person, but it doesn't surprise me because guys just want to know.
Well, I didn't want to know.
But that was a total
deal
breaker for her, huh?
But apparently, because she assumed that I was some sexual deviant, some pervert. From that point on, every time I would tell a story or remember a story, I'd have to run it through a filter of, is this story as funny and interesting as I thought it was? Or is this a story when you tell it to someone else, they think you and your friends are insane?
Oh, those are the best stories, though.
I know.
Hmm.
And so it's you. This is why it's so hard to find someone that's right, because at some point you're going to find someone that hears those stories and aren't scared and have their own stories and you're not afraid of theirs.
Pink Phantom tweeted that maybe she was afraid that you would look better in her clothes than she did.
I am a large man. If I if I was a skinny dude, maybe she could feel jealous. But I weigh more than 250 pounds. I'm a large man. There is no way in hell you could get me to look like an attractive woman. No way in hell. Except for maybe my legs.
Challenge accepted.
Oh, you want to give me a makeover?
Can I? No, seriously, can I?
That was an honest reaction. That was an honest reaction. You honestly want to turn me into a girl. You're weird.
No, I don't want to turn you into a girl. I just want to see if I can turn you into a pretty woman. I wouldn't want you to do that all the time. Again, that's weird. But since you're, like, so adamant that it can't be done, I want to challenge that.
You want to turn me into a pretty girl?
Oh, yes, I do.
Good luck with that.
Actually, I think that would be a fun project for me and your girlfriend, because I bet you she would eat that up, too.
There's videos online of boyfriends attempting to do their girlfriend's makeup.
I don't think you'd be able to do that with your girlfriend the way she wears her makeup. You could probably do my makeup and it would probably look okay.
I don't know how your makeup looks. I don't know
how
makeup is supposed to look.
That's why you'd probably do an okay job.
Well, here's the thing, is that you can. It's only funny if you, like, really don't know what you're doing. Like, if the mascara keeps clumping and you try to use the eye pencil and it goes everywhere and you put on too much rouge and you put lipstick
liner,
and it just goes everywhere. I don't
liquid
know.
Liquid liner.
And so, but then the other thing is that it turns out I'm a halfway decent painter.
Oh, of course you
and
are.
And so am I going to find
you're
out that
halfway
by...
decent? That's an understatement. You're an amazing painter.
And so I'm worried that if I actually try this, I'm like, oh, for fun, let me do your makeup and see how horrible I'm at. And then I do her makeup, and like I'm better at doing her makeup than she is. That's an awkward situation.
That won't happen with your girlfriend. Again, you may be better at putting on my makeup than I am, because I'm generally pretty basic with it.
All right, I don't know. It's fun things to do. Fun things to do when girls are in the room.
You would be a good henna artist, I think. You could do henna tattoos.
Henna? Oh, all right. I have no interest in that.
No, that's, yeah. Well,
so have you ever been on a date?
You been putting makeup on people?
Not really. Have you been on a date where you have said something and everything fell apart, or the other guy said something and you lost interest entirely?
Yeah, well, I had one, and I didn't even realize that I did this. So I had went out on a first online date with someone that I'd been talking online with for a long time. We connected very well online. And we went out, and I really enjoyed myself and wanted to see him again. And right when I got home, he sent me a, hey, you know what? I don't really see this going anywhere. And I was like, okay, well, and I'm like, well, can I ask why? Just because, I mean, I'm curious. Like, I didn't get that vibe at all. And apparently, I said something along the lines of, and I will be the first to admit, I'm not, like, uber sports fan. I like going to games, but I don't, like, really follow teams or anything. And that was the problem. Like, well, I'm really into sports, and I just don't think that, you know, based on
you don't know Johan
our,
Santana's war.
I don't even know who that is. So,
wins
right.
over replacement is war. Wins over replacement player.
Right. So apparently my lack of sports knowledge was a deal breaker. And I was like, okay.
Really?
I'm like, I'm very, I mean, you've met me and we're friends. You know, I'm very tolerant of most things. And I would go to games and, yeah, I'll root for your team. But do I understand it? Do I care? No, not really. But I can
pretend. Well, and this is where I'm very suspicious of when people have deal breakers that are that silly. This idea that, I can't
like
be with a girl if she doesn't.
Like the barbecue sauce man?
Barbecue sauce guy, yeah. It's
that was weird.
I can't tell if you are rejecting them for another reason and this is the only tangible one you can find. But if you're a guy You either, if and your girl loves sports, now you get to watch sports together. And if she doesn't, you now have the opportunity to teach her. Because if she doesn't know anything about sports but still wants to learn, you know how much fun it is, like, teaching football to my girlfriend?
I think there's a difference between wants to learn and will learn because you're into it so much.
Well, I'm sure that's what it is. My girlfriend isn't sitting at home right now figuring out where Mariota is going to end up in the NFL draft, where, you know, which team he'll fall to.
God, I hope not.
Be Tampa, right?
And you're
have
not.
To,
the,
he's got to be
your
going
girlfriend.
She likes
dancing, and you don't sit at home thinking about dancing, like.
No, but the thing about a relationship is that you may not be in love with what they're in love with, but you love them enough or like them enough to where you at least want to see why they love this so much. And so I get dance lessons, even though I don't think I'm very good at it. But I still let my girlfriend dance with me so that I can, you know, find out what she's interested in. And my,
I would just like
my
to flash
girlfriend...
back to a previous episode of the Soon to Be Cat Lady podcast, pre-girlfriend, where Cat Lady said to Ben, you should really learn how to dance.
Well, here's the problem with the, it's not, it doesn't come in handy. It's come in handy once, twice. No, because.
You go to all the wrong places.
No, it's, I am learning. Don't get me wrong. I'm enjoying learning how to dance. But it is not a skill that pops up that often, because I'm learning the foxtrot.
You don't consider yourself a dancer, and you never will.
I am learning the waltz, but I have not learned it enough to start improvising. And so if it's this idea that you go to the club and then you dance with a girl and meet a girl through that, that seems like a weird way to meet a girl, by grinding up on them.
Yeah,
now,
no, that's gross.
When you're in a relationship, knowing how to dance is great because, we're at a wedding. We should go dance. You know, my girlfriend and I went out on New Year's to a place where they had a dance floor, and we went out on the dance floor, and it was absolutely wonderful. But the idea of meeting
girls
through dance.
I'm talking about when you're at a wedding and you're single and there's a single bridesmaid who really wants to dance, knowing how to dance and being like, hey, let's go dance, not grinding up against her, but, you know, that's
well,
way
here's the problem with that, is I'm being trained how to do the foxtrot. And so if the girl herself doesn't know how the foxtrot works, it's going to fall apart. You know, it's.
But
I'm not being.
You kind
I'm
of
not,
have a
not
sense now.
Not being talking
now,
to the white guy's overbite.
But you've got basic steps down, and girls are generally the follower when it comes to dancing.
Right, but there's a difference between following with your typical slow dance, which is just rocking back and forth, and then when it's an upbeat song, just kind of improvising, vamping. But, you know, I was taught the hustle. If you don't know how the turns work, it very quickly gets out of control. And so it's
well,
just
here's
me
the hustle come out.
Things. The dance, the hustle, not the song, the hustle. I can't remember. I could dance it, but it's basically I was taught before this wedding a number of dances that you could do to any song.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just thinking because
and now
like,
that we're past
the
wedding,
slide,
now I'm learning dances that have nothing to do with it, like waltzes and things like that.
At one point, I knew the electric slide, but I don't anymore. And I think the electric slide of my generation is the cha-cha slide, which is stupid, and the Cupid Shuffle.
Look, this and the Macarena and all this stuff where you're learning
a
dance that it's not, you're not really dancing.
But line dancing. I mean, the electric slide's not really dancing either. Hustle's not, I mean, not really.
Right,
it's the same thing over and over.
You are merely moving in unison with others.
Right. Line dancing.
Right. It's
so it is dancing.
Well, it's when now that I'm learning actual dancing, you know, I'm watching.
Oh, it's way different.
Can,
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, it's way different, right. It's the difference
you should be
between,
on Dancing with
I'm
the Stars.
It's like, I'm learning how to play. Well, no, that's what I'm learning. I'm learning the Dancing with the Stars dancing.
That's good.
And it is serious. I feel for those celebrities that have to learn how to do that because that's serious work they're doing. They're busting their ass learning how to dance these dances.
Your theatrical career, your musical theater career is going to take off. It's going to be amazing. I'm very excited for it.
What's the plan here? I don't even know how you get... Everyone has these, oh, you should do this, oh, you should do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I genuinely don't know how to get into... You've been trying to get me to be in a musical.
I think you should be in a musical, definitely.
Okay.
Well,
I don't know how you accomplish
this. It's a huge time commitment, so you'd have to be really, yes, I want to do this. And, you know, if you were at that point, I could certainly help you along. We can look up auditions, we can practice songs, we can, you know.
I'm willing to try.
The nice thing about you learning your dancing is that the dancing for musical theater, while it's still difficult, if you already have, you know, kind of a rhythm on how you pick up dancing, you'd be able to pick up, like, a dance audition very quickly, which is good.
Well, I am willing to try new things. And I enjoy trying new things. But it is, I want to make sure that while I'm trying it, I'm doing it right as I'm doing it. I don't like the idea of, I'm going to try this new thing and then 6 months later learn, I've been doing it wrong this whole time. I like
well,
to know
nice
that I'm doing
thing.
It right from the start.
The nice thing about theater is if you go to an audition and you get a part, it's kind of like, I'm gonna try to use a radio analogy here. You have a producer, but they're called the director, and the director is in charge of what you do. So if they don't, no, you don't do it that way, and then they explain how it needs to be done, and you practice and
right.
You've got it. So you really
right.
can't screw up. Well, you could, but... You'd have to be.
Well, it's just, I'm willing to try, but if they're like smaller things?
Smaller musical theater productions? You wouldn't have the lead, Ben. You'd be a chorus member.
I'm not looking for the lead. I'm not looking for the lead, but I don't want to start off on a level that's too ambitious. I'd like to put my toe in the water of this.
Okay, well,
if I do
I'll find us a community theater to audition for, some fun musical.
Because right. I've been doing improv, and I've started taking improv classes again, and that's wonderful. And to perform in that is great, but that is when you practice, you're practicing the fundamentals. You're not practicing lines, you're not practicing, you know, when you get on stage, nothing is prepared in improv.
Right.
Nothing is agreed upon beforehand in improv. And so it's I realize that I have certain aspects that I could do. It's just making sure that I don't want to end up auditioning and getting into a place where it's like, I don't think I could have made this time commitment. I don't, you know, or it turns out, oh, wow, I'm actually terrible at this.
I don't think you'd be terrible. I wouldn't suggest you do it if I had any inkling you would be terrible.
Well, I don't. Worst
comes
think
to worst, we can put on a show in my living room. I'll record it.
Consider yourself at home. I don't know if I have that good of a voice.
You've got a strong voice. We've talked
right.
about this
but
before off of Blog Talk Radio, but, you know, we could work on, you know, softening and, you know, different, you know, volume range, but...
Well, it's I have a natural baritone voice, which I can control rather well. But mm-hmm. all of the songs I sing in karaoke are for tenors. And so in order to hit those notes, I have to basically scream them.
Right. It's all about breathing. If you can scream them, you can hit them singing-wise. You just need to learn how and practice
all right.
breathing correctly to do so.
Well, I wouldn't mind learning that.
Sounds like we've got some projects coming up, Ben.
This show has gotten weird.
It kind of has. So are we done
this
then?
This is why it's important to do show prep, everybody.
Well, I'm sure everyone is glad to hear that you're doing all right for the most part and that you are looking
no, I'm doing
work
all right,
and now you're
going to
be a musical theater star.
Come see me, and I will be in the Fantastics.
In what?
In the Fantastics.
Oh, okay.
The Broadway joke.
I got it. It's not a very common musical, though, so I didn't laugh because I'm guessing most of the people didn't get it.
That's why I always go for it. It would be easy to say Les Mis. It would be easy to say Phantom. But I wanted to go for, like, if you really love Broadway musicals. This one's like, oh, yeah.
My most favorite, fun cat lady fact, I grew up doing musical theater and even professionally at one point. And my favorite play I was a part of was You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. And
oh, cute.
You should, not right away, because you would, of course, need to, you know, dip your toe in first, but you should totally be in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. You could be Charlie Brown.
What
Linus. It'd be Charlie Brown or Linus. I don't think you'd be a good Snoopy. And you're more outgoing than Schroeder.
Okay.
And if you were Charlie Brown,
which,
I could.
Which Peanuts character are you? You'll be shocked to learn. Click this link.
According to Catlin, which Peanuts character are you?
No, I very much. Charlie Brown is the voice of a generation. Maybe not my generation,
right.
But he definitely makes a lot of sense.
Several generations, really. But, no, and it's a Minnesota thing, too. And we're in Minnesota.
I think, well, it's Charles Schulz was from St. Paul, but I think he did most
right.
of his drawing in California. I love how people will glom on to something. If you live in Minnesota and there's any little tiny connection to Minnesota, you don't shut up about it. You know Bob Dylan's from Minnesota. He performed none of his exciting music in Minnesota. Like, at least with Prince, he records here.
Mm-hmm.
Minneapolis is his home. Bob Dylan couldn't wait to escape this godforsaken state.
I think with Charles Schulz, though, like, we have the Mall of America, and when that first opened up, the big theme park in the middle was Camp Snoopy, and it was Charlie Brown themed. And all throughout Minneapolis, St. Paul, there is Charlie Brown, Lucy, and Snoopy, and even Woodstock statues all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah, the city
is. We take pride in our peanuts.
Yeah, the city has taken ownership of him.
Yes.
But it's. Look,
well, and they're based on characters that he grew up with in Minnesota.
Yeah, good point. Good point. I think we all know a pig pen. Am I right? Meh. Meh.
Yes.
All right.
Well,
I'm,
Ben.
Well,
are you going to
cat
bed?
Lady. Yeah, I've got some stuff I got to do before going to bed. But no, this is the crazy thing about no longer doing a morning show is how quickly my sleep schedule has returned to what it used to be. Which
so
was
you sleep
until
2 in the afternoon every day?
Yeah, pretty much.
Very nice. Very nice. But you need an overnight job is pretty much. what's your looking for?
So I could be a stand-up comedian or a bartender or a drag queen, I guess.
You've got it covered then. I mean, drag queen kind of goes all the F's. You could be a stand-up comedian drag queen.
You're not making me over. That's not happening.
All right. Well, it's been just about a month since I've seen you, so we don't have to put makeup on you, but we should plan a fun get together, and I can teach you the musical theater ways. It'll be fantastic.
All right. I would like to learn.
So next week we'll be back here. Well, actually, maybe not Blog Talk Radio here, but we'll be back somewhere. More tweets
well,
to
if,
come. Follow
if
me at Susan
You are
Catley.
Experimenting with other venues for this blogging, but it's a it's a question of how to set up the technology.
Yeah, it's a pain in the butt. So, more to come on where we will be next week. But next week, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you don't know me, follow me at Soon2be Cat Lady. You can follow Ben at Benjamin Kruse, Kruse, and check out soontobecatlady.com for online dating horror stories.
Cat Lady.
Good night, Ben.
It's been a thin
Yes.
It's been a thin slice of heaven.
Oh,